Hey, everybody, it's Paulie Mack here from the Murphy Mack Morning Show, talking to our good friend, tax attorney Steve Moskowitz. And today, I want to pick Steve's brain a little bit on estate planning. And Steve, my first and probably biggest question is, when it comes to estate planning, is there more to it than just determining which of your family members are going to get your assets when you go?
A lot more. An important part is something called an advanced healthcare directive. And what that is in English is, suppose that you're laying in a hospital bed and you can't speak for yourself, and the doctor goes to your spouse and says, should I pull the plug? You want to have something set up where if you can't speak for yourself, who is going to speak for you and what are they going to say? And that's also important if you're single and you don't have a spouse. You don't want to be like Terry Schiavo and have the spouse and the husband fight for 7 years over what could be done.
No, that's worst case scenario for sure, Steve. And we've seen it too many times. So if you've got questions like the one I just asked Steve, go ahead and pick up the phone and get in touch, because Steve has the answers and the experience to help you. Call him today. Steve Moskowitz, 1-888-TAX-DEAL. That's 1-888-TAX-DEAL.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Welcome to Paulie's Podcast.
You know, I've been thinking about this. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
All right, we're back on the Paulie Mack Podcast. We're in place. Well, actually, some of us are in place. Not all of us are in place. Because, Tony, when I look to my immediate right, you know what I see?
No one.
I see nothing. I see an empty chair. That would be the chair of Shannon Kaler. I'm not even sure why he's not here today. Why is he? Oh, he's got a doctor appointment. That's right. Okay, we let him go for that one. We let him slide. In any case, it's going to be Creative Tony. It's going to be Paulie Mack forging ahead on what is so we're recording this on March 31st,
Paul.
Only reason I'm mentioning that is because it's our good friend Mark Ibanez's final day on the air.
Oh, man.
Give him a round of applause.
Yes.
After a 43-year career. That's 43.
Nuts.
Longer than many of our listeners have been alive.
You know what I'm going to predict, by the way? Mark Ibanez, he's in very good shape, right? I think that now that he's going to be retired or semi-retired, he's going to hit the weight room and he's going to come out of the weight room looking like Hulk Hogan, right?
Well,
maybe a tanning booth is involved as well.
Right? He's the kind of guy, you know.
Come on, Mark.
A tanning booth.
Mark, and thank you, Mark, for tuning in. He does check out the podcast.
He's the best, man.
We had him on, like, what, a couple months ago?
Yeah. And, well, we had him right before the Dallas game.
Yeah, that's
the playoff
right.
Playoff game.
And he's a big vinyl collector, so we like to talk to Mark. We should get him on here in the next month or so after opening day.
Right off the top of my head, the last vinyl room shot I saw of him, these are the ones I remember seeing off the top of my head. I saw Van Halen, 84.
I remember 84, too.
Baby Smoking the Butt, the greatest.
Yep. Yes.
I saw Jimi Hendrix, Are You Experienced? Mm-hmm. And there was, he's always got like a big, I get the feeling he's a big Beatles fan.
I think he's a big Journey and Santana fan, too.
Is he? Yeah. Oh, yes. Santana was represented. But anyway, I saw a bunch of like Beatle 45s. Anyway, what a great guy. I want to salute a great career, and he will be missed. Tony, it's funny, like you and I have been together long enough now where we're seeing guys come and go. Like we saw Gary retire. Now we're seeing Mark Ibanez retire. And I guess who's left now? Joe Fonzie. Somebody I'm very fond of, too. I like Joe quite a bit.
We also have one of our guys that's part of Stanford Athletics, the play-by-play man Scott Reese, who's been filling in here, and he also does KTVU sports.
Cool.
And then he's got Larry Beal still in the mix.
Long-timer Larry Beal.
Still in the mix.
Yeah. How come all the coolest people are still on the air at KTVU, Tony? You ever notice that? Like Inglis, Ibanez, Fonzie's, all three of them. All cool, all the same station. But anyway, Mark.
I'll even go back to the Dennis Richmond, Elaine Corral era.
Now that we're going this far, it would almost be rude of us not to at least shout out Julie Hayner.
Julie Hayner and Leslie Griffith.
Anybody we're forgetting? I hate to leave anybody out.
Sure. Garcia Michaelian.
Sal Castaneda. Is he on too? I don't even know.
St. Ignatius Wildcat, Mike Miebach. Okay.
There you go.
Shout out my sister's old boyfriend.
Well, if we're going to, I don't know how far you want to go with this, but I'll go back to the 1970s.
He's also a deadhead, by the way. Mike Miebach's a deadhead.
Awesome, dude. Yeah. Awesome. I'm happy to hear that. And Tony, I'll go way back to my childhood in the 70s. Channel 2 was the home of Giants baseball.
That is correct.
Only about 20 games a year.
Grew up on baseball on Channel 2.
That's your damn right.
Seriously.
You did.
And then, it was before Fox took them over.
No question. Right. Yeah, yeah. And Tony, late night, this might even be before your time, and I forget if we've rapped about it. But
you go
late
night
nights,
flight? You go night flight?
Oh, I like a good night flight. But pre-night flight,
yeah.
I'm talking 70s now.
Yeah.
Creature Feature.
Oh, wow, yeah. That does predate me.
Okay.
I know it.
Yeah.
But, I was really young.
And you would watch a little Creature Feature. You'd have to stay up and, like, kind of hide from your parents. They wouldn't want you watching Creature Feature. It's true.
Well, that was like, we had the movie Creep Show.
Yeah.
With John Lithgow and Ted Danson.
Yeah.
We had that on a VHS tape.
Lithgow.
Right. And we used to watch that over and over and over. My parents would always be like, "You're not watching Creepshow." And then we'd
talking about the movie? Or
yeah, the movie.
How about
the
what movie. They do to Danson? They bury him in the sand and they make him watch his wife, who's also being kidnapped or something. It's the whole thing's
brutal.
Wacky.
It's brutal.
How about the guy that had to walk around the building on the ledge?
Yes.
I think it was James Woods.
Yep. And then you had Stephen King as the man, the Moss Man. Remember, he grows
the
moss.
Freaking Moss Man. Yeah, yeah. Sitting in his cage.
They
drinking.
Should remake. Why don't they? Everybody's into remakes now. By the way, speaking of Top Gun.
The Moss Man.
Top Gun, whatever is coming out in May, I'm not going. I'm boycotting.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
Well, no Kilmer, no Dice.
But why do you need to redo it?
You don't.
Why?
You don't at all. Well, I don't think it's a redo.
Or
I think it's an extension.
Whatever it is.
Why did they?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the funny thing about Top Gun is they waited like 40 years to make a new one. What makes them think the generation now has any interest in Tom Cruise?
Well, you know, it's funny.
Top Gun.
My kids are interested in the original. And I said, I'll show you the original all day.
You show them the glutes, the volleyball, the pecs?
There might be a couple of love scenes you might have to fast forward through.
It might send some mixed messages to your kids, too.
Right.
Like, Dad, why is this volleyball game so...
intense?
Sexy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why is this volleyball game so erotic? I tell you, the slapping of the glutes in that scene.
How about mixed messages between Will Smith and Chris Rock, Paul?
Okay, let's get into it. Finally, I know it took us a long time to land.
I feel like it's our duty to get into it, but I don't...
I'll let you go first. Go ahead. I actually saw it live. I saw the whole thing unfold.
Yeah.
I happened to be watching. Were you watching when it happened?
I was not, but I literally got... Somebody blasted me on text. Dude, check this out. This just happened.
Yeah.
And I watched and I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I would just, everybody listening, thank you, first of all, for tuning in, and feel free to subscribe to the podcast, and then you can hear all of our podcasts at KMBR.com/podcasts, or if you subscribe, they'll get blasted to your phone on however you listen to podcasts. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, just go read Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's synopsis of the entire event, and he just lays it down. He just says, Will Smith has every right to be a little upset, about what Chris Rock said, and that, you know, my aunt and my cousin both have alopecia, so I get the struggle that is involved with living with alopecia.
Quick question. Did you know that Jada Pinkett had alopecia prior to the Academy Awards?
I did not.
Neither did I.
But I don't follow Jada Pinkett.
No, like, nor do I. But yeah. And I want you to carry on in 5 seconds. My only point there was that, like, I think that speaks to their level of narcissism that they assume,
right.
Jada Pinkett and
right.
Will Smith, that they assume... everybody in the free world knows, like, their medical state
right.
or their... Like, I have no idea what's going on with those people, and I don't care. Tony, go ahead.
So I'm just saying, and Kareem basically says, there's a lot of points he makes, but one of the main points is Will Smith could have easily just yelled from his chair, hey, man, come on, back off. And that could have been
that would have been too much, but
and
go
that
ahead.
That would have been too much.
I agree.
But he said, you know, probably at the worst he could have done that. But instead, he does this whole, you know, charade of walking up.
He assaulted a guy.
Assault. And also he makes the point that it makes Jada look bad because what are you saying? Jada can't defend herself?
I thought she
came
off.
That women can't defend themselves?
I think the whole thing.
That, seriously. And then also.
I think she comes off looking horrible.
Yeah, the whole, you know, and I always kind of like liked Will Smith because he seemed like kind of like a good dude.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing.
But now what I realize is that.
It's an act.
He's not only an actor on screen, he's an actor in everyday life.
Fraudulent, yeah.
Like he's just fool. He's been fooling me. And I realized the massive ego on that guy.
Yeah.
And did you see the footage of him after
disgusting.
It was
disgusting.
Singing his own song.
Dancing to his own song.
Dancing,
holding his Oscar.
Holding the Oscar.
Like a great victory for
as
me.
As if it never happened. As
right.
if that charade never happened.
Again, it speaks to the narcissism. It speaks to how self-absorbed he is.
Crazy, dude.
I want to say just a couple quick things.
The Chris Rock's wow, dude, should go down in history as one of the greater sound bites.
Wow, dude.
I feel bad for Chris Rock.
Me too.
I feel like Chris Rock, first of all, he's a guy that they hired to just kill like 3 minutes.
Yeah,
so
but
like,
he also, I do want to say, though, the alopecia joke, like knowing people that suffer from it,
again, that's why I'm gently suggesting, I think it's entirely possible he had no idea. How does Chris Rock know that she has alopecia. Like, who knows these things?
Oh, you're saying that Chris Rock didn't know.
I am suggesting
that. I don't know.
Telling you for a fact
possible,
right
yeah.
now. I
it's
had
possible.
No idea.
Me neither.
I don't know that Chris Rock follows every detail of those lives. He's got his own thing to do.
He's more in the circle,
and
though.
And I would be willing to bet that if he did know about it, he might not have said it. Or if he did, I think that he probably thought these guys are going to be cool with it. And why shouldn't they be? Amy Schumer was up there destroying fools. She had a great joke about LeBron James, for example, earlier in the night.
Right.
Amy, who I think did a good job, by the way, her and Wanda Sykes and all those guys,
I
thought they did a pretty decent job. It's a really hard gig to host that show because you're going to get crushed no matter what you do. But she comes out there and she goes, yeah, LeBron James is in Space Jam 2. I think that's up for like a CGI award, and it should be after they were able to create a whole new head of hair for LeBron James. Everybody laughed. I thought it was pretty funny. My point is, it's the spirit of the evening.
Right.
Dude, you're a billionaire.
Right.
You have no worries in the world. Your family, you guys are all gorgeous. You have no problems.
Also, it shows Will Smith laughing.
It does, but my point is, dude, even...
When Chris Rock says the joke, they show Will Smith laughing.
And if that's
then they show Jada, and she's stone-faced.
No, if that's the greatest heartache you're going to suffer in your life is a two-second throwaway joke from Chris Rock, dude, your life's pretty good. It ain't that bad. You're going to eat dinner tonight. You got no worries
in the
world.
Well, then he doubled down. He said the out your bleeping mouth twice.
No, it was stupid.
You know?
It was false. It was like false hustle. And here's my thing.
It's really weird.
For Chris Rock.
It's really weird.
Chris Rock is at a total disadvantage right there. First of all, if you watch the video, when Will Smith comes storming up on stage, like you can tell right away Chris Rock has no idea what's going
right.
on. His hands are behind his back.
Yeah.
Chris Rock is standing with his hands behind his back.
And he also looks to the side after it
and
happened.
And he gets
like...
drilled in the face. He's mm-hmm. totally defenseless. He doesn't know that's going to happen. And then Will Smith like kind of struts off like he's just accomplished some heroic He-Man thing. It's like, bro, you just hit an unsuspecting target.
You assaulted.
It was a totally unfair situation.
It was assault on live TV. And Will Smith walks away. I heard reports that they tried to escort him out and he wouldn't leave.
He refused.
So
I'm not leaving.
Why does he have the option to refuse?
But
why does he have the option to refuse?
He shouldn't have. They should have dragged him out during a commercial break. Get his ass out of there. Get his ass out.
Go.
Yeah. They got big security guys all over the place.
I was just going to say, there's security at those events. We're going to talk sports, by the way,
I know,
too.
But no, this is the biggest story in the country right now. But anyway, that's it. I feel bad for Chris Rock. I think Will Smith is a schmuck, and I think they ought to not let him go back to the Academy Awards. Clearly, he can't control himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's supposed to go back next year to do the presentation for the best actress. That's their tradition.
Yes.
I'd have a hard time watching that show knowing that he's up there without any consequence. Dude, you can't go around assaulting people. I'm sorry. There aren't different rules just because you're a celebrity. You walk up and punch a guy in the face.
That's
assault.
That's not how they feel.
Well, I think that the Academy should discipline him in some fashion.
I totally agree.
I don't think you should just be able to do that.
It's unfortunate charges weren't pressed on Will
Smith.
Does
that mean we go see? And would he have done that if it was Dave Chappelle?
That would have made a big deal, though.
I'm dead serious. Would he have done that if Dave Chappelle?
Because Dave bigger?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm totally serious.
I don't know. Yeah, these are all good questions, man.
All right, let's do this, Tony.
And if Chris Rock didn't know she had alopecia, then okay, I get it. But if he did know and still went through with that joke, then I'm not a fan of the joke, and I'm not a fan of Will Smith's reaction. That's what I'm saying.
Boy, that's interesting. Okay, fair enough, Tony. Why don't we do this? Let's move on instead to some sporting topics. After all, this is the and as Mark Ibanez says, and that's the sporting life.
Yes.
So, Tony, let us begin with the Golden State Warriors. 5 more regular season games. We're recording this on Thursday morning, the 31st of March. They lost to Phoenix last night. Nice game, too.
Great
really
game.
Was a good game.
Fun game to watch, too.
Good atmosphere with the crowd. I thought Draymond Green looked really good and energetic. Jordan Poole has become his own guy now.
Yes.
But, Tony, still the Warriors are losing a lot of games. They're 1-7 since Steph got hurt. I don't know. Where are you? Are you concerned? Do you think the Warriors can flip a switch? Yeah, I am too.
Concerned. Yeah. Absolutely concerned. When Steph comes back, it'll be great physically for them to have Steph back. And also, he's the leader. You know, Steph is the leader of the Dubs. But I'm worried about the chemistry. I'm worried about the flow. I'm worried about the vibe. And Steph is obviously phenomenal at creating and cultivating the vibe.
What do you mean the vibe? I don't know what
because
do you mean?
They're not. They haven't. None of them have played together that much. This season, Curry or Draymond or Clay or the young guys. Like they've. And there's been this whole let's build up the young guys, but also let's take care of the older guys too. It hasn't really. It's worked. So, but they've been on this not a nosedive, but a pretty tough last couple months, man, where injuries, of course, and then lack of chemistry and a lot of losses. So I know that when Steph comes back, he's going to be a great leader, like I said. And I do think that they will obviously improve. But what worries me is the lack of chemistry and of fluidity. You know, like it's hard to you. We've talked about this in radio. You can't force chemistry, right?
Nah, no, you can't.
When there's only five games left in the season, and do we even know the timetable for Steph?
Yeah, I think he'll be back
for the beginning of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's okay. My impression. Yeah.
So it's, but like we've heard, I think Marcus Thompson said it to you guys, you and Murph earlier this week, that they're going to have to use the playoffs to get better. And that's
I'm not crazy about that.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Like Iguodala was the guy who said that. Yeah, it was Iguodala. He goes, yeah, we'll find. I was like, really? I don't know if you can just like find yourselves in the postseason. I mean, you'd like to have a clue going in.
And that's what they're going to have to find their chemistry and find their flow. Steve Kerr said it earlier that, you know, they were one of the best teams in basketball the first 50 games of the year.
I thought last night, though, that was one of the encouraging things, that they went toe-to-toe with Phoenix, even with Clay having an off night, and really the only scoring threat coming from Poole. I mean, I think Wiggins had 19, but outside of that, it was really all Jordan Poole.
Well, last night provided hope.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. So even though it wasn't a win, like, I feel like there was sort of some encouragement there, because you see that, yes, they can compete, and there's a lot of pride there.
So totally.
Warriors, once the postseason starts and the crowd wakes up, and I think the Warriors start to realize and remember, and they have Steph out there with them, I don't think it's going to be easy for Phoenix, but I do think that Phoenix and Golden State are going to meet in the postseason, like, as provided the Warriors can play well enough to hold things up on their end, and I think that they will. I think they can.
So do you feel that the Warriors have a chance to come out of the West, to represent the West?
Sure,
get to the finals.
It's going to be really hard, but they do have a chance,
Oh, man.
They have as good a chance as probably any of the other teams.
I love Dubs' postseason hoops, so I'm super
excited for it. Me too.
And the
East is the question this year is, man, I wonder.
But you know what I
like,
really.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's some good teams in the East now, which hasn't been the case for a while.
Yeah, true.
But this is a year where you don't even, first of all, it could be any number of like maybe four different teams, maybe even five out of the East. We don't know. Could it be Miami? Boston is on fire right now.
Yeah, Boston is on fire.
Don't forget about Milwaukee. They're out there defending champs. You know, you got Philly. So anyway.
Can I get dark for a second? Like go dark?
Dark Star?
No, of course, Dark Star.
Yeah, what do you got?
It's just. With Steph being hurt right now, I kind of was like, oh, man, at some point there's going to be a Warriors.
I don't want to think about
without
that.
Steph. Nah, and it made me sad. It made me sad.
I don't even want to. I
was like, oh, I love, because I don't just love Steph as a player.
I love just seeing him makes me feel better.
Vibe.
When I see him, I physically feel better.
Yes.
I've been saying this on the air. Like, I don't care what, and I'm not trying to, it doesn't even matter if you don't like what I'm saying. I'm sorry. I don't care in this case.
Oh, great.
Steph Curry makes the world a better place.
No question.
Just by getting out of bed and leaving his house, he makes the world a better place. You see what he did to that girl in Denver a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, yes, yes.
This is the kind of thing, man.
And he's a great role model.
Just like Michael Jordan always did.
You know, in a time
I'm kidding, that's a joke.
In a time of freaking war, he's a great role model.
Yeah,
right?
He always has been.
I mean, my kids both have Curry jerseys. You know, my son idolizes the guy.
As I pivot now.
Didn't your kids love Curry?
Of course.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? Right? Like, my mom loves Curry. Like, everybody loves Curry. Yeah. Tony, as I transition now from one sport to another.
I think the word now that the kids say is pivot.
I know. It's a little too cute for me. They say pivot.
Let's pivot, Paul.
Tony, to pivot over to football talk, you mentioned jerseys in your house on your kids. Do either one of your kids wear a Trey Lance jersey?
No.
Go.
No.
No.
No. I don't understand.
I know, because there are kids that do. There are plenty of there's grown men that do.
Dude, the stands of Levi's Stadium last past season, ton of Trey Lance jerseys.
Lance.
I usually got a jersey after there was something proven.
By the way, just for your head as a creative director, you might want to realize and remember that when the season starts for 49ers season, you go back and revisit Apocalypse Now, which is always a good idea under any circumstance. One of the big characters in the movie, if you remember, when was the last time you saw it? Now. When was the last time you got a piece of the apocalypse?
Long time ago.
It's a hell of a ride.
Well, buckle up.
Well, you got Hopper coked out of his mind, dude, with all the cameras around his neck. Oh. Hey, man. So do you remember Robert Duvall's character? I love napalm in the morning.
Yes.
Okay.
I love the smell.
He's fascinated with one of his soldiers who is a surfer.
Yes.
That guy's name is Lance.
Get out.
And there's Lance drops galore.
But I already decided, and I talked to Murph about this, that we're going to change the Let's Nance song to Let's Lance.
I won't let that happen. I personally won't let that happen.
Lance.
No, no. No, that belongs to Jim.
Put on your...
That one right there belongs to Jim.
You're listening to Pauly's Podcast with Pauly Mack of KNBR's Murph and Mack Morning Show on KNBR, the sports leader.
All right, everybody, we are back on the Pauly Mack Podcast. We do this each and every week. It is a highlight of every podcast where we open the door and we welcome in our good friend and tax attorney, Steve Moskowitz. He stops by once a week just to visit us on the podcast to talk about what's new and what can help you out in this very complicated world of tax issues. And Steve is a master at all tax issues. So, Steve, we say good morning to you and welcome back to the Pauly Mack Podcast. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Pauly Mack, talking about tax. So this is my happy time.
Well, it's a happy time for you. It's a scary time for a lot of people. But, Steve, you've been calming our nerves recently. So what's on the agenda today? How can you help us out?
So today we're going to talk about part three of offer and compromise. And offer and compromise is the one where we go ahead and even if you owe some money to the government, you just pay part and they forgive the rest. And there's three basic areas here. We've already gone over the first two. Just to refresh our recollection, the first one is doubt as to collectability. You don't have the income and assets. The second one is doubt as to liability. You can have all the income and assets in the world, but I don't owe the taxes. And now we come up to the third one, the compassionate ground. Now, I know some of you are listening and say, hey, wait a minute. Which is it, compassion and IRS? What's that doing in the same podcast? And the bottom line is there is a compassionate ground where you basically say it's unfair for the government to collect these taxes. What will be some examples of this?
Okay.
Suppose you have somebody, and you know this can get into a sad area too, Paul. Suppose you have somebody that's dying.
Yeah.
And they say, look, you know, they're undergoing this medical treatment and they have some money, but they're going to need it for the portion of the medical treatment that's not reimbursed by insurance. If you take away the money, you might as well just come on over to the house with a gun, shoot the taxpayer, because you're going to kill him.
Right.
Then we get into variations of that. Like we have some elderly people that are in those assisted living facilities. And, you know, well, sometimes life can be cruel, Paulie. I mean, those places, they're there to take care of you as long as you have the money.
That's right.
And if you don't, you know, there are cases where they call up the kids and say, come drag them out of the bed because can't pay, get out.
Yeah, right.
So the bottom line is say, well, you know, yes, the taxpayer owes you some money, but he can't pay you. Because if he does, they'll literally throw him out. He'll die in the street.
Right.
These are compassionate grounds.
Yeah. Right.
And then you have other instances, for example, I had a case where, unfortunately, the taxpayer was terminal. He's dying. And basically all he said to the IRS is, look, just let me stay in my house for the rest of my life, which in his case was about 6 months.
Yeah.
So, but again, you know, it's not a 6 month time limit. This is a facts and circumstances test. What does this? And there's a lot of area here to work. So, you know, again, we're talking about offer and compromise. The attraction to the offer and compromise is that a large part of your tax can just go away.
Nice.
Doesn't come back. They forgive it. And these are the grounds that we're working on to get it. And I know a lot of times people, when they talk about the IRS, you know, they don't think about compassionate grounds. But the IRS is not a machine. The IRS is made up of human beings that, you know, their parents have illnesses and problems and too, and these are life problems where right. You say, and this is more gets into the more political area where the Congress people say, does the government need the money so badly that you'll literally throw an old sick person in the street to die? Do you need it that badly?
It's a good question. Yeah.
And the Congress answered no.
Right.
They want to grant this compassionate ground. So in reviewing these things, you know, in doing them in order, when you come in, you could also have somebody who has more than one ground. So we take the first thing that we ask clients in this area is, what are your income and assets? Because if you do have the income and assets, then we have to move to the compassionate ground.
Yeah.
Also, if you do have the income and assets, well, wait a minute, you could be a multi-billionaire but do you dispute the taxes? And that comes up an awful lot, Paulie, because you'll see that, you know, IRS just spews out these bills.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're wrong. For example, there was a time some years ago where the IRS had a computer programming mistake and they sent out bills for billions of dollars, billions with a B, to just regular middle-class individuals.
Jeez.
So people, so you get a bill from the IRS for, you know, $1 billion. So obviously this is a mistake. And initially when the people were calling the IRS, the initial people answering the phone said, you have no choice but to pay in full and then you may file for a refund. Well, because you know what? I'm a middle-class guy. Sorry, I don't have a spare $1 billion.
Right, right.
And then of course, you know, it went higher up and it was resolved. So you take a look at that. And then you look at the compassionate grounds. Now with the compassionate grounds, it's not just for the taxpayer. It can be somebody close to the taxpayer. For example, you have a healthy, middle-aged, middle-class person who has some assets and has some income. And they have a kid that's, you know, a horrible medical problem. That would be grounds.
Okay.
Another area, and it's unfortunate in our society, but these things happen, where let's say your kid has a horrible drug problem.
Yeah.
And you say, well, look, you know, my kid has this horrible drug problem. And if I don't send them to this rehab center that's expensive and they keep them for a while, he may die on the street or commit crimes. And, you know, again, you're looking for compassion. So it's not well defined. You know, math is math. 1 + 1 = 2. We all agree on that.
Yeah.
Well, what's compassionate? And again, it's facts and circumstances. And this is kind of like explaining your case to a police officer why you were speeding. If you were speeding because you were driving your wife to the hospital because she can't breathe or she's given birth, that's a real good reason to be speeding. And the police officer will probably give you an escort to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were speeding because you didn't want to miss, and no offense because it's a sports station, if you didn't want to miss the first inning of the game, yeah, that might not be as good a reason.
No, don't try that one. They won't let you go. I've tried that, Steve. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah, yeah.
So you can listen to it on the radio in the car on KNBR, the sports leader. Why would you
watch? Well, I'll tell you what, Steve. This is another interesting installment of your guest hits with us, because I think you're right. When it comes to most people in the general public, they don't expect a lot of compassion when it comes to the IRS. But again, perhaps you do qualify. Maybe you've heard this piece today and you heard what Steve said and you think, well, I've got the facts and circumstances that might qualify under the Compassionate Ground Act. So what I would recommend is reaching out to Steve directly at this point and call Steve at 1-888-TAX-DEAL. That's 1-888-TAX-DEAL, and have a conversation with Steve. You can pick up right where we left off today. Or visit Steve online at MoskowitzLLP.com. And now, Steve, only because you're so well-versed and you're so practiced, let's do a rehearsal. If I was a cop pulling you over and said, sir, you're driving awfully fast and your radio's awfully loud, what are you listening to in there?
I'm listening to my favorite show, which is Paulie Mac, which is such a fantastic show, which lets me know about sports and gives me the insight, and I can understand, and I can dazzle my friends with the information that I get from this genius Paulie Mac on KNBR, the sports leader.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Paulie Mac's podcast. Tony, so we were talking about jerseys, Trey Lance jerseys.
Trey Lance jerseys. I have to ask you a question, Paul, right out of the gate.
I don't know if I have the answer.
This is a really weird offseason for the Niners.
I agree.
Really weird.
Very weird.
After a very...
It feels weird. It doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good.
Uh-uh.
You know,
I feel like they're hiding something from us.
We were talking earlier about how it kind of feels rudderless.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There's just weirdness. And, you know, DJ Jones and Lakin Tomlinson, those are huge losses.
I like DJ.
Now, Sharkhandrick West, I am into. I do like that signing. But it's just this whole Garoppolo thing, and I thought they were done with him. I thought it was like, literally, we're done. We're trading him, we're done. And now this is, here we are about to go into April, dude, and he's still a Niner. And the Niners are putting on this front as if like this is what they meant to do. And I don't believe that's the case. Do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No.
So I'm just like, what is going on behind closed doors?
I also feel like they're trying to break us into the idea that, like, hey, just in case this happens, right. Like, you know, Jimmy could be on the roster this year. Like, I don't think this is what they wanted at all. I think, I mean, Jimmy said goodbye
right.
at the end.
He said yes. It's been fun.
Yeah.
And how do you feel if you're Jimmy? I mean, granted, he's making a boatload of money, so he's happy in that respect. But how do you feel of the way you're being tossed around,
no,
man?
Like, no, he can't be good. And he's won so many games, too. That's the thing. It's a really weird situation. What about this scenario, Tony? Because this is easily something that could happen.
Yeah.
Where we come back, Jimmy's on the roster, Trey's on the roster. Trey starts the C, which he has to.
Right.
They got to let this guy start at this point. I mean, you have to.
You would think.
So he's playing ball, Trey, now. And let's just say he gets hurt.
Right.
Let's say he's on the show.
Very good chance.
That's what I'm saying. So what if he misses a couple of games?
Uh-huh.
Jimmy comes in. Jimmy's playing good football. He wins those games. Now we got a controversy. I'm just saying, like, this could really blow up in their faces in a PR sense, if nothing else.
But that's what I'm saying. I feel like it's blowing up right now. Like, we're not – I would love to be a fly on the wall at the Niners facility to be like – to really know what's going on. Because they're saying all the right things to us right now.
Right,
they're telling Mayoko and Matt Barrows and David Lombardi all the right things.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like they actually...
Did you mention Mayoko in that one?
I did, yeah.
What about Barrows?
I did.
Okay,
I
just making
three.
Sure. I don't want you to leave anybody
out. I mentioned
out.
The three.
Okay. There's probably somebody. What about our own guys in-house?
In-house.
Yeah, let's not leave...
What, Johnny Lund? Jumping Johnny Lund?
No, I meant what...
You know?
No, I meant the guy that type on the... they write the columns up there. It's okay. Don't worry. I don't know either. I was just riffing. I was like, hey, let's just shout everybody out who's got an attachment. You know what I'm saying? Tony, go ahead. It's fine.
It is fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish I felt better.
Yeah,
that's all.
I do too.
I don't feel good about the Giants going into opening day either.
That's interesting.
So, you know, on the other side.
Oh, after, look at this now.
After the Wits.
Now we're going to break.
Yes.
Okay.
After the Wits.
Okay, so.
Let's get into Giants and song dedication.
Actually, I'm a little surprised you say that, but maybe with the Longoria thing, I can imagine why. But we're going to, I'll pick your brain.
June, dude.
What about June?
Longoria.
I know.
June. What? He's the hot corner, man. He was supposed to have the hot corner locked down. Sorry.
June. Man. All right, let's do it like this. Yeah. We got a break. Ever dated a girl named June, by the way?
No, but June Carter.
I was going to say June Cleaver, too, Beaver's mom.
Yes.
Have you ever dated any girl or woman with the name of a calendar month?
No.
April, June.
No.
There are Aprils out there.
No.
Here's an April.
But we do have Jocktober in the orange and black now.
How come there are no girls named July?
That's a good question.
There's a guy named August. He's in Warf Rat.
We're July babies.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
There's no girls named September either.
Nope.
Do you remember? All right, back after this, and then we're going to find out why Tony Ryan, Creative Tony on the Streets, is concerned with the 2022 Giants. It's all coming up on the Polymech Podcast. All right, we're back on the Polymech Podcast. Tony, real quick, I got to tell you, it's getting harder and harder to sleep as a parent, which I am.
Yeah.
And now that these kids, I got one up there in school now. I got a second kid. He's about to go to school. When I say school, I mean college. All I can tell you with college is they're not.
Oh, it's cheap.
It's not. Yeah.
So
no,
college is cheap.
It's not in the budget. It's not. Boy, I don't know why they make an education so expensive. Shouldn't it be a little bit more affordable so we could have more people with a chance out here in life?
You would think.
Anyway, Tony's getting hard. Like, I'm getting a little stressed. I mean, I'll figure it out somehow. Don't worry, but I am worried. Like,
and I'm on the other end of the spectrum where my kids are young.
And by the way, I just want to say the last thing is...
All in future.
Last thing, and then the floor is yours, but it's all fun and games all day long with the riffs and yeah, we're going to roll guns and this and that. Then when I try to go to sleep, that's when it all starts coming into play.
College tuition. How are you going to do that, smart guy?
You know what I mean? Like,
Before we talk Giants, do you lay in bed and just kind of ruminate about, like, life's troubles?
I did last night.
Yeah.
And so, hence, I'm quite tired today. I got a sore neck. I'm all messed up.
First of all, I've been struggling sleeping too, man.
What do you mean?
Just the other night, I had a hallucination in the middle of the night.
Beautiful.
I woke up.
Beautiful. And see, this makes me feel better.
I don't even know why I did it.
I can't wait to hear where we're going.
In the moment, I remember being very scared,
Were you dreaming?
I must have been, because I ran out of bed and ran out the front door.
Wow, nice.
And then, once I got outside.
In a sleep state, or were you awake?
I remember doing it, so I was awake.
You better be careful. You're going to scare your kids doing that kind of
shit. So I scared the bleep out of Megan.
Yeah.
And
you're scaring me right now.
But once I got outside, I came to, and I was like, oh, man, yes, okay, this is not real. And then I went back to bed. And
you're at it. Boy, that's making me feel a little better. Okay.
Megan's like, what are you doing? I said, God, I just woke up and it was something because I do a lot of stuff for Little League, right? So I was like, I was stressed about Little League.
Wow, man.
I thought I missed a.
You ran out of the house.
Yeah, I ran out of
Pretty
the house.
Pretty good. Yeah. Not bad at all.
So, you know, I hear you on the. I mean, I get why they use like sleep deprivation as like a form of like torture.
You a sleepwalker by any chance?
No. At least not to my knowledge.
I did when I was a kid. I haven't done it in a while, but I used to.
And I love sleep, man. A good night's sleep, how great you feel after a good night's sleep.
I love it too, but I don't get it anymore. Many, many years ago, true story, I saw...
I love that we're talking sleep, by the way.
I'm about to like add some riffs to it, though. Like, I remember seeing Guns N' Roses. I saw them twice in my life. Once with the original lineup was pretty awesome.
GNR, Paul.
Yeah, GNR. Then I saw the second tour right when Use Your Illusion came out. So I'm at Madison Square Garden. Soundgarden opened.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And then now Axl. But of course, the band came on stage like 2 hours late.
Oh, wow.
So what should have, and I was a work night. And that's what it's all going to get connected back to sleep. Stay tuned. Watch how I do this, Tony.
Yes.
So we were at the show. Me and my buddy Dave were at the show at the Garden, just the two of us. And Guns N' Roses comes on. They start their show at like 10:30. They were supposed to be on stage at 8. And like about an hour into, and they were generous. They play long shows, but back then they would come on stage all hours of the night. Keep a full arena of people waiting. So finally, Axl comes on stage. They play. They're good. They're sounding good. And he starts addressing. He goes, yeah, sorry I was late, man. You know, we had some things happening backstage and blah, blah, blah. Whatever he said was kind of, I don't remember what his excuse was. But then he goes, you know, and plus, you know, a lot of you, it's just people complaining about, you know, not getting enough sleep and you were out late at the show last night. He goes, but I bet if you were out late last night getting laid, you wouldn't be complaining about not getting any sleep. And everybody cheered. And I still think about that to this day. Like,
wow.
Yeah, but we're not getting laid. We're waiting for you to show up.
We're waiting for you to get out.
Big difference.
And paid money to get, you know.
Big difference.
Yes.
And I'll never forget this. A big fist fight broke out, like right to my left, like about the row in front. Well, you got that kind of thing at a GNR show.
Yes, you did.
Back in the day. Tempers would flare.
Dude, day on the green. Dude, tempers would
flare.
I remember.
And him not showing up 2.5 hours later didn't help tempers. Anyway, so it was a big fight. Axl was saying if you were getting laid, you wouldn't mind not sleeping. But again, still to this day, I ponder that and I go, yeah, but bro, we weren't getting laid. We were waiting for you to show up.
Yeah, and by the way, this is totally
Tony, your reactions.
My reaction is that it's not cool. It's just not cool.
No, I know.
And you're just sitting backstage knowing you have an arena or a venue full of people waiting for
you.
Well,
he was he's out of his mind. And the moon had to be lined up and stuff.
I just read, I forget the artist, and I'll have to look it up, but there's a country artist that just canceled his
show.
Eric
Church.
Because he wants to watch the Duke of North Carolina game?
Believe me, while Bonnie Raitt's out here doing like 6 months straight without it. Have you heard Bonnie Raitt's new album?
How about make it a part of your show, the game? Like, hey, hold on, guys. I'm going to go check the Duke score. Like,
how about drop it on a big screen?
Right. Make it fun. Make it interactive with your fans.
Put it on screens while the band's playing.
I know the Dead used to watch Niner Ball and then come out.
Right off the side of the stage. Yeah,
exactly.
What's the score of the game, y'all?
I mean, dude, what are you doing?
No, that's bad. That's just bad business, bad form.
I'm glad that you knew about that because I read that story. I'm like, what an a-hole.
And his fans apparently are not happy.
They shouldn't be happy.
Not happy.
Really? All of a sudden it's about Duke, North Carolina when I had this date on the calendar for how long I bought tickets for your show?
And I don't even know if he's from either of those areas.
No,
I don't know.
I could care less. It just goes back to the entitlement and the ego of these people. It's like, dude.
Well, you got Eric Church canceling gigs so he can watch TV. Second of all, I want to tell you, Tony, that one of my favorite blues guitar players, Bonnie Raitt, has a new record out.
Yes.
Have you heard it?
Yeah, I heard bits of it. Actually, you guys played it earlier this week,
I think. You're damn right we did.
Yes, love Bonnie Raitt. The quiet behind a slamming door. The break of a heart that won't break no more. Get away. I did a recording session with her.
I know
years
you did.
Ago. Oh,
how hard does she rule?
She, one of the nicest, like, humblest people I've ever met that could have a massive ego if she wanted to
easily
because of the lifetime of work that she's put out there for all of us to enjoy.
A couple of quick comments about Bonnie Raitt, just for my world and
before
yours.
Before we get to late night Lamont and Longo.
Sorry, I know. I got to get back to the Giants. But yeah. One, Bonnie Raitt was really good to Bruce Springsteen. When Bruce first started, he opened up a bunch of shows for her.
Nice.
When she was, he was like a nobody. And then two is Sarah sitting with the Grateful Dead. West L.A. Fadeaway. She plays Slide.
Nice. Yeah, she love Fadeaway.
She kind of had a little.
I love that song.
I think she had a little bit of a crush on Jerry. I do. And then finally, I just want to say that the fact that Bonnie Raitt is about to go on a tour that's going to keep her occupied for about like the next 8 months.
Are we going? We got to go.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Go look at her tour dates. That's what I'm saying. You want to see what it's about, you go look at Bonnie Raitt's tour dates.
You think she's canceling a gig for a UNC-Duke game?
That's exactly why I brought this up. No, I don't. I don't think she'd cancel a gig if she had her leg blown off
in a
chemical mishap. She would hop up on stage and play the gig.
This
and
guy,
I'm not
Eric
kidding.
Church, could have made it fun, where literally in between songs, hang on, y'all, I'm gonna go check the score,
or just lower a big screen so you can see the game,
or ask fans in between songs, hey,
who's
what's
got
the score,
y'all?
Give me the score. Somebody give me the
Let's
score.
Let's make this interactive, y'all.
And then how fun would it be if he's I don't even know if he's a Duke or North Carolina fan. I forget which one. But let's say he's a Duke fan.
Yeah.
And say Duke wins during his show. How fun would that be?
Turn it into a celebration.
Yes.
You saw Fish during the World Series.
I saw Fish right after the Giants won Game 7 in Kansas City.
Come to think of it.
And it was great. They played We Are the Champions. The place went bonkers. The
did
band
they have a screen? How did you get updates on the game and all that?
No, I missed the first set of the Fish show because I wanted to watch the game.
City Hall?
No, I watched it at the Double Play.
Being is the
which is a bar for the listeners out in Potrero Hill that used to be across the street from Seals Stadium.
Gig was at Bill Graham Civic.
The gig was at Bill Graham Civic.
How'd you go? How?
I took a cab.
Wait, whoa, now.
I took a cab from Double Play right when the game ended. I was at the Double Play with my uncle, my dad, some buddies. And then as soon as the game ended, I said, I got to go.
Which one was
And I grabbed my uncle and took him with me.
Paul?
Uncle Mike. Uncle Mike. And we went to the show and had a great time.
Uncle Mike went to the show.
Yes. Yes. I said, hey, I can find you an extra ticket. I said to my dad. My dad's like, no, I'm going home. I said, okay. So I went
to the
show.
It'd be cool if Tunnell went to the show.
But the vibe in there was amazing because the Giants had just won the World Series.
Fish didn't cancel the gig or anything.
No.
Well, I'm just checking.
No.
Maybe they wanted to watch the game.
No, but they made it a part of their show.
No, I know. Just kidding,
it's
dude.
It's just
of
like,
course.
Come on, church.
I know. No. These kids today, they don't know.
But how?
That shows you how seriously they take it.
Well, why would
that
you still be a
fan? That shows you right there how seriously.
Why would you be so serious? Why would you continue to be a fan of Eric Church after this BS?
By the way, not only did he cancel a gig, I think it was a stadium gig, bro. It was a stadium where the Cowboys play. So you're
awesome.
Talking about like disappointing 80,000 people.
Awesome. Great job.
Yeah, great job. So, Tony.
Whoever he's rooting for, I'm rooting against.
Good enough, dude.
Okay.
I like that. Hey, Tony, and then real quick on the Giants. You had a comment earlier in the Jockcast where
I'm
said,
a little bummed out. What's going on?
Injuries.
Well, I was looking forward to having a healthy Longoria at third base to start the season.
You're not going
to
get that.
I was looking forward to having a healthy Lamont Wade to start the season.
That's more of a concern to me than
and
Longoria.
I mean, I'm happy to hear La Stella is back.
I like him too, but he's still coming off that Achilles.
And he actually
had
a bases clearing, I think, double or triple the other day.
I love his at-bats, La Stella.
Yeah,
he
swings
makes guys
out of
work,
his ass.
And he does, and he makes pitchers work.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
So having him back, so guys like Tyro Estrada.
Tyro Estrada.
I'm looking forward to seeing him now.
Okay.
Is Joey Bart going to start? Like,
that's the guy I'm very excited to see.
But there's just this level of, I mean, of course I'm excited for Logan Webb and the pitching staff and Rohan and Cobb. And
Rodon.
Rodon.
You're good.
Who's Rohan?
Aaron Rohan. Yeah, I don't know. I like him though.
Cobb and Webb and Wood. But it's just... I don't know. There's the injuries right out of the gates bums me out. And Lamont Wade, I was expecting to be a big fixture in the lineup this season. I know Jocktober's here. I like that. Yaz,
What do you mean Jocktober? I don't know what you're talking about.
Jock Peterson.
Oh, it's okay. I didn't know we were calling him Jocktober.
Yeah, the guy's got rings up his A.
I was like, Jocktober? What are we saying? Okay.
So, and, you know, he's coming back home.
Yeah.
I just, it's not the greatest feeling already struggling and, with injuries and worrying about who's going to play there. Like, who's going to play third base for the Giants?
Wilmer Flores?
I know, and that's not exactly, I like Wilmer.
I kind of do, too.
But I don't know how much experience he has at third base.
Yeah, well, that's kind of Kapler and Farhan Singh, though. Have a glove and play every position. I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, I really don't.
At the end of the day, in Farhan, we trust. But I just it's not the greatest feeling going into opening.
I feel you, man. I do. I think you got some legitimate stuff there. I'm going to keep it kind of optimistic. I don't think they're going to win over 100 games or anything this year.
No.
I think that they'll – I really do. I think that they'll figure something out as far as, like, what they have and how to win.
I think they'll be good.
Me too.
I think they'll be good.
Me too. I think they're, like, you know, high 80s, maybe a 90-win season. That'd be great.
Does Crawford have anywhere near the type of season he had last year?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
You're saying no already. You're starting your campaign for the new season. I forgot. You got to get – you got to lay the foundation down early before opening day. Do you care to make it interesting?
We'll see,
Paul. Care to make
Let's
it interesting?
Let's just say we'll see.
Last year you offered up a wager that nobody took you
nobody
up on.
Nobody wanted to
and
you
would have lost. You would have lost.
I would have lost.
Sensationally lost.
I would have lost.
So right now, would you care to do it again? Because I think I'll take a piece of this.
I don't want to go negative.
I'll take a piece of this.
I want to go negative out of the gates, though.
You already have been kind of pegged as being the negative guy. You're doing it again. You just started doing it again. Do you think he's going
to
do it this year?
Realistic. Like, realistic.
You were psyched? Let me tell everybody what I saw on his face. Let me just tell you what I was just looking at. Tony's looking over at me going, you think he's going to do that again? Is he going to have that kind of season again? And the joy on Tony's face.
There's no joy.
Now there's a lot of joy. And the joy was that knowing that probably he won't do that, and which
there's
made
no
Tony
joy.
Very happy.
There's no joy. There's no happiness.
I think Crawford.
I don't think he hits 20 home runs. I think he has
is that
under
the extent of it, or you want to go batting average, and that's all you're
dude,
saying?
He's a career 250 hitter.
I'm going to say he is going to hit 20 home runs, respectfully.
Okay.
I'm not going to say he's going to go crazy, but I think he'll hit 20, 22, something like that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I do.
I hope so.
I do. I think so.
What about your boy Belt?
I have no clue what to say about Belt. He hadn't played in spring training at all.
Right.
That's a concern, too.
Exactly.
He hasn't even stepped out there yet.
So
he's like,
no,
I'm good. I'm riffing. I'm good.
And at some point, we're going to have to turn the page.
Well, from
like
Tony,
they're doing behind the plate with Bart. So is Casale starting opening day or is Bart?
We don't know.
Right.
I hope Bart does, though. No disrespect to Casale, but I want to see the Bart era begin.
I would say start the Bart
era. Start the Bart era. He hit another home run yesterday.
Yeah, start the Bart era.
2 days ago.
Just anyway, and I love Casale as the backup.
Me too.
And to be his mentor. And Casale actually relishes that role. So it's like, fine. But let Bart just start Bart.
I like the sentence you just said. I want to turn it right back at you. Tony, are there any roles in life that you relish? I just like to say the word relish.
I would say the role of the Brandon Crawford realist role.
Yeah, you do relish that role.
That's
your comfort zone.
I'm a realist.
You're real, generally a pretty positive guy.
I love Crawford.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
I just
you don't. In fact, next time we go to the yard together, we're going to bring this up with B. Craw.
Nice.
We say, Craw, this is the guy right here.
Say, hey, Brandon, I admire your skills and your dedication to your craft.
How do you feel about me telling you one final absurdity about the Oscars before we pivot?
Oh, well, we have major. Your song dedications.
All right, fine. I just want you to know that the actress named Julia Fox, if you're familiar with Julia Fox, she was in Uncut Gems, which is a good movie.
Great movie.
She was Sandler's girlfriend.
Yes.
She wore a dress to the Academy Awards that was partially made from human hair. That being said, I want to switch.
What are these people doing?
Human hair.
Why?
I don't know why. Because they're out of their minds, dude. Human hair.
I just don't get it.
I'm going to think about wearing like human teeth on my shoulder.
I don't get it.
Human hair. Tony, now to more serious matters. I know.
I'm going to let you just take this and run with it because
I'm just trying to tell you what's going on.
This hit us both very, very, very hard.
Yeah, a week ago on Friday, man, we got the terrible, terrible news that Foo Fighters drummer and all around great guy by all accounts, Taylor Hawkins, sadly left his mortal coil, man. He checked out and passed away. And we've some details. I mean, they were on tour in South America in Bogota, and they found him in his hotel room. I guess there was. I don't know what to say yet because they found a lot of different substances in his body. Yeah. This is a guy who's had problems with addiction in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times that never goes away. These people that struggle, a lot of times it's never really over. You have to wrestle with that.
And you know what? I don't want people to focus on that. I want people to focus on the amazing career and talent of this guy. Unfortunately, especially in music, certain musicians can't reach that type of level of talent and performance without tapping into, something. Yeah. And I'm not here to judge, and I'm just saying that it's a massive loss just for the musical community.
Yeah.
Also, just interviews I saw of his, or he just seemed like such a good person.
I heard from everyone, like, I mean, and I've heard the same thing.
Yeah.
One guy I know who actually met Taylor a few times, our friend Chris Kelly from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
He texted me after Taylor passed away because I was talking about it on the air. And he, because I was saying that, like I said, like kind of what you just said, that, hey, everybody that encountered this guy talked about what a cool dude he was.
Sure.
And he's just like us. He's a guy who loved music and he happened to be in a huge band.
Right.
But he, but Chris Kelly was saying he's a real sweetheart. Like every time he came to the show, he's really nice. But I think it's kind of a testament to him as a person, like you said, that some of the tributes I saw, I mean, everybody from his peers, like guys his age, like Slash and you know, Eddie Vedder and all these guys are all roughly the same age. But then the older generation checked in, like Mick Jagger sent out condolences. The guys from Rush, who he was close with.
Yeah.
He was close with Geddy and Alex.
He was close with Perry Farrell.
He was close with Perry Farrell. You know, so it's really heartbreaking. And how about poor Dave Grohl?
I know.
Who's now been through this experience twice.
Yep.
He had this happen with Nirvana, losing Kurt, and now he's losing. And they also say, I'm not an expert on the Foo Fighters, but I'm telling you what I know. Like, I've also heard from a lot of people that Taylor Hawkins and Dave Grohl were like best friends.
They were very tight.
It wasn't
tight.
That they were just like bandmates. They were like best friends.
Very tight, yeah. And they also, if you ever watch them play.
Joy.
The amount of joy, the amount of fun they were having.
That's why I say they're just like us. Like, they love music the way we do.
Absolutely.
But they're playing stadiums. Like, that's how we'd be behaving. Yeah. Let's do a Queen song. You know what I mean? Like, totally. We'd be doing that. So it's they're really related and connected to a lot of people. And for me, selfishly, Tony, you know what's nuts, dude? I was going to see them in a month.
Oh, wow.
They were headlining Jazz Fest. So I was just about to see them. And now that's not going to happen. They pulled the plug on the entire tour. I don't know who will step in place of them, actually. But somebody will. So we'll keep you posted on that. Maybe they'll move the Black Crowes over or something.
What a crusher,
I know.
What a crusher.
And I was really looking forward to that set. Like, I wanted to see the Foo Fighters set. That won't happen now. But what we can do, Tony, is remember Taylor Hawkins and the music.
Yes.
Real quick side question, and then we'll do the assignment. Have you seen the horror movie, the Foo Fighters horror movie that's out?
No, I read the interview that was in the date book section of the Chronicle with Dave Grohl, and it sounds fantastic.
No, I know, and it's on demand. If you want to rent it, I haven't watched it yet either, but I'm thinking about maybe twirling one up.
And it sounds
out of respect.
Like them just being goofballs and having fun.
I know, it sounds awesome. Which, so,
and shout out to Taylor Hawkins' side project, Chevy Metal.
Yeah.
Which was like a cover band.
Yeah.
That actually ruled.
I don't know if I know, and I don't know if you heard this, but are you aware of the fact that they also released a speed death metal record that's the soundtrack of this movie? That's the Foo Fighters acting like a speed metal band.
Yes, yes,
and the
yes.
songs are like, like it's like insanity. Have you heard any of the music?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
I remember reading about that too.
Yeah.
Which makes it all fun.
It's on
man.
Spotify.
But
yeah.
How about the just everybody learn from guys like that to not take it so seriously.
Yeah.
Yourself
like
so
like
seriously.
Will Smith.
Hey, Will
like
Smith.
Will Smith.
Go listen to some Foo Fighters and Chevy Metal and ease up, man.
And I never saw Dave Grohl dance at a party after assaulting a guy, holding his own Grammy, dancing to his own song. Never saw that.
Oh, dude.
Anyway, Tony, to pay respects to Taylor, why don't we each do a Foo Fighter song or a Taylor Hawkins song of some kind?
Yeah, yeah.
Who would like to go? Would you like me to go?
Well, this may sound cheesy or hokey or whatever, but I don't care.
I'll go first.
No, I'm going to go first.
Okay.
No, come on. You're and plus, you're a drummer. Like, I'm not a drummer.
Okay.
Respect. I want to shout out Questlove, too, because on Twitter he said, he said, rest in beats.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really well put.
Yeah.
Well said. And congrats to Questlove on the
Summer of Soul.
Yeah, Summer of Soul.
The Academy Award.
If you haven't seen Summer of Soul,
thank
you for that recommendation.
Yeah, how great is that?
So good.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go. There's a song by Foo Fighters where Taylor is all over it. It's not like a thrashing beats per minute kind of a song, but it's this. And also, just because I think Dave looked at Taylor as one of his heroes. And the song Foo Fighters, My Hero.
Wow.
Which. Every time I hear a song, it actually tugs on the heartstrings a little bit, just because I think about people that are near and dear to me that have been influences in my life.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, the true heroes in the world, like the firefighters and the nurses and the doctors.
Yeah,
and all that.
Man.
So for, you know, in honor of Taylor Hawkins, left us too early, but his music will live on forever.
Well, awesome, man.
My Hero by the Foo Fighters.
Yeah!
Okay, buddy. So that's cool. That's a good one, and that's with Hawkins on drums. I'm gonna profile a song that he sings as well, because if you're not that well versed, like, he does sing. He's got a pretty cool voice.
Yes.
And there's a song on the they put a double album out like around 05, 04, 05, something like that. It's called In Your Honor, and it's a double album.
It's a great album.
It is. Yes. And the one record's like heavy and it's electric, and then the other record acoustic, is all acoustic, and I love the acoustic one.
Yep.
There's a song on the acoustic side called Cold Day in the Sun.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a Taylor Hawkins lead vocal. Yep. It almost sounds like the Eagles. Like, it's a really good song. He does drum on that, too, but it's more of a showcase for his singing and his great melodic sensibility. So Taylor Hawkins is for you, kid. Cold Day in the Sun.
Huh.
Yeah.
Great call.
You go, huh.
Well, no, because that's one of those albums that I actually...
I know. It's not like their biggest...
I wore out, but I wore out when it came out.
Yeah, I did too at the time. Yeah.
And then I put it down because I'm like, okay, I got to move on from this. And yeah. And now I'm going to die. You're going to send
you
me back
right
into
back.
A,
no, yeah. So it's what I did.
Okay, I'm going to dive back
when
in.
When Taylor passed away, I pulled that album out. I hadn't heard it in a while. I was like, damn.
It's really good.
It's a good batch of tunes right here.
And I like the vibe on the differing vibes on both, you know, back in the day, CD1 and CD2.
Tony, if you'll excuse me, I've got places to go. I got people to slap.
Yes.
I got people to yell at and people to slap, and I got a very busy agenda.
Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
Yes, Paul, take that microphone out your mouth.
Keep my podcast out your mouth.
Wow, dude.
What a.
Let's just end it right there.
Bye.
What a blank.
Yes.
You've been listening to Pauly's Podcast with Pauly Mack of KNBR's Murph and Mack Morning Show. This is the KNBR Podcast Network on KNBR, the sports leader.
Hey, everybody. It's Pauly Mack here from the Murph and Mack Morning Show, getting ready to talk to Steve Moskowitz, good friend and podcast sponsor. Steve, can you help me make some sense of the AB150? What is it and what does it mean?
AB 150 passed July 16th, 2021, effectively gives business owners the ability to deduct their state income taxes on their federal return. But you have to be an entity like an S Corp. So if you're a sole proprietor, what you want to do is talk to us about becoming an S Corp. And then what happens is you get to pay the taxes at the corporate level, which are deductible. You don't pay a penny more in state taxes. This is a big, big deal. So if you're a sole proprietor, talk to us about becoming an S Corp. If you're already an S Corp, then you need to talk to us about making a selection.
Wow, this is a nice opportunity, Steve. The AB 150 is just one of the things Steve can help you with. Call him today at 1-888-TAX-DEAL, 1-888-TAX-DEAL, or visit him online at MoskowitzLLP.com.